Would you introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, my name's JP Welsh, and I'm Fuller, artist in Los Angeles.
Let's start with the most important thing, which is that you are reframing feelings of heartache and desire with an optimistic, et cetera, et cetera. See, I did that.
That's good.
Yeah, I know. Well, but that's okay because everybody needs a tagline. But I don't know nothing. Where are you from originally? Are you LA born and bred? Probably not.
Not even a little bit.
Not even a little
Texas.
Bit.
Texas. Texas.
Yeah. Okay, let's go. Where in Texas?
So born in Arlington, outside of Dallas. Grew up in Dallas, and then a small town called College Station, which is where Texas A&M is.
Got it.
And then after I went to Texas A&M, and then after that, moved to Austin for a few years, and then just came out here at the beginning of 2019.
Wow.
So fresh.
And what does one study at Texas A&M that drives them to this?
Fun story. I was an English rhetoric major studying to go to law school, got into law school, my apartment fell through, and I saw it as like a cosmic sign that I shouldn't be doing law. And so I said, you know what? Instead of going to law school, I'm going to move to Austin and do music. My parents loved it.
Well, yeah, I'll bet. So an apartment didn't come through in Austin.
No, that was going to be in Florida, Gainesville, University of Florida. The apartment.
Ah, that's
like
where
I
law
applied.
School was.
Yeah, I applied to the apartment, and then it like didn't get it for some reason, and I was like, I don't want to go.
But you know, you got your South By, and it's a groovy town, and it's a big musician's town. But so was that in between Texas A&M? You just decided to go to Austin and hang for a while. And was that to try the music thing, or was that to?
Honestly, it was probably just like kind of a safe choice. Like I wanted to go do music, and Austin was still like, you know, 2 hours away, so it wasn't too crazy. And it seemed like from being in College Station, Austin seemed like the coolest, like happening music town there was. And of course you get out there and it's mostly just people drinking a lot of beer and playing shows and having fun.
You mean
which is cool, and I enjoyed.
Don't think Sixth Street is serious rock and roll? I mean,
yeah, all the dudes in the blues trios were getting signed by majors. It was crazy. But
you do your time in Austin, and where was that moment that you said, you know what, it's a great city, but what I want to do is just not going to fit in here? Now, I didn't tell you that's what you said. I'm just kind of guessing. That's what you said.
That is it. Oddly enough, most of like the bands that do well in Austin are pretty niche. Like they have like Austin likes to hype up the weird, and I like weird. Like I love Spoon's
one of my favorite
bands.
Oh, psychedelic rock
yeah.
In Austin is like
absolutely
the best.
But I feel like most of the bands that like really make it in Austin left. And then they come back around. But I was just feeling like it wasn't happening. The band that I was doing things with just didn't seem like it was going anywhere. And I needed to kind of reinvent myself, if you will, or just kind of start over. And I was dating a girl who had lived in L.A. and wanted to move back. And I was like, let's go. Of course, you know, then
you get
3 months
Aaron
into it. Yeah. She's great, but yeah, it didn't work out.
No. Formal training, in playing instruments, all that stuff. Anything? Nothing?
Nada. I taught myself everything I know, which ain't much, but it works.
So how many things have you taught yourself?
I taught myself how to play guitar, how to sing, which, oh man, I was so bad at singing whenever I started. I remember I learned, like, I didn't do many covers because I just wanted to learn how to write my own music. But I learned a Tom Petty song to show my dad because my dad loved Tom Petty. And so I go down to his office and I play him Big Weekend off of Tom Petty's Highway Companion. And he goes, wow, that was really good. You could be a backup singer. And I was
yes,
devastated.
Dad. Good job, Dad.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Oh,
so I was like,
painful.
Nah, I'm gonna go back to the, I'm going back to my bedroom. I'm going to keep singing this song till it sounds good.
Oh, my gosh. Is Fuller a project, a band, or a burrito?
So I've always liked kind of the pageantry, if you will, or just like the drama of having a different moniker or a name. And I've always liked the idea of being in bands, but I've found from being in bands that I'm not very good at being in bands because I'm just kind of particular and want everything to be a certain way. And then, you know, I realized it wasn't very fair for me to keep lying to myself and act like I was good at it because I was just making life difficult for other people. But I've always liked that vibe and the band vibe. And a lot of my, you know, people I like and stuff have gone other different names. And it's a chance also to not have to worry about being myself as much as being the version of myself that I want to highlight. And
so it's a persona too. There's a personality behind Fuller that's not necessarily. So what percentage of you is Fuller and what percentage of Fuller is Fuller?
I would say Fuller's probably 80% me, but like jacked up on like a bunch of caffeine or something. I don't know, just amped up a little bit. But it's generally me, but me without having to be self-conscious about anything. I'm just doing whatever I want, basically.
Like all happy people, inside I like really dark stuff. I really love Eric Bogosian, and I love stuff that I call it a Tootsie Roll pop. That it's all sugary and fruity and crunchy on the outside. But on the inside, it's dark and gooey and mushy and kind of scary, you know, because you bite through the crunchy stuff. And someone would just say that's the definition of power pop. These are songs that are just as sugar-coated as can be. But man, oh man, if you had the lyrics and you played them differently, they'd be kind of depressing, wouldn't you say?
I would definitely say. You like hit the nail on the head of what I generally like to do. I love tricking people into thinking that they're listening to a happy song. It's like the most fun thing. It's like mildly deceptive, but I think it's because I wish they were happy. You know what I mean? But also they're not. So it's like, fine, lean into what you got and have fun with it.
But how do you know what the filter is for a Fuller song? And do you know?
I don't think I do. I think I just write stuff, and if I like it, then I hold on to it for later. A lot of times I'll write something and then be like, we'll put this away. I haven't really figured it out. And then later I'll go back and be like, oh, this is what it needs, or we need to change some things. But it's also so new. This project is really new. So if it's a Fuller song, that's just because Fuller made it, I guess. And it feels right.
So let's talk a little production. Let's talk, is this all you and is it all brewed at home?
No, it's not. I made demos. I made demos of all the songs that were similar vibe, but not as slick. And then I moved out here and I had a list of producers that I wanted to work with. And I compiled the list and was very like focused. And like once I moved out here, I was like, all right, it's midway through January. I've been here for 2 weeks. Like I found a job. Now like let's get to work on the music stuff. And I emailed the one that I thought was kind of crazy at the top of my list. So I was like, he probably won't respond to me. And it was Eric Palmquist, who's done oddly enough stuff with Billie Eilish and Bad Sons and Tate McRae and jazz. But I emailed him and he emailed me back the same day and was like, I love this, let's meet up. And I was like, awesome, let's go. So he does the producing, but I brought the songs in pretty well finished, and then we just kind of tweaked some lyrics and got to it. I liked how, I don't know if this is the right word, but like how finished but still raw and like fun all the music was that I heard out of them. Like Bad Sons, like what is it, like Cardiac Arrest and Salt, and then he did some stuff with Honey, which is like a smaller indie pop band, and I just liked the feeling of them, and they just sounded finished, and they sounded like they could be on the radio, but they also sounded like something that you'd like show your friend in high school that they hadn't heard.
You know, so much is already talked about your voice. How much was done in terms of that sound to get it where it went?
The vocal sound?
In terms of the tracking and stuff, how much did you do?
I think that is, honestly, that kind of sprouted from my limited knowledge of production. Whenever I recorded the vocals on my demos, one of the only ways I knew to make it sound good was to double it.
To double it, yeah.
Yeah, so that was just something I had, and I always, you know, big surprise, liked the Strokes, and so I loved that, like, crunchy, hot vocal. And so those two things together, he was just like in on it, and we just went with what I had, but, you know, recorded it better.
So TikTok and the Strokes, you really, really enjoy What If was by the Strokes.
Bingo.
You like that, honestly, a lot, don't you? But that's such a fun thing to do, isn't it?
It's fun, and honestly, I am going to dial back doing the Strokes so often. The only reason is
it's so easy.
It's so easy to do.
Because it all sounds like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's all right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 30 minutes in your DAW. You crank out a bass line and then just chug on the things, and you're done. Do a little, like, syncopated riff, you're good. The song's done.
But they do say that any great song can be played in any style, right?
Yeah. So, which is, I think, very true, yeah.
Although I must say that I was, right before we were talking, throwing in the duh in the middle of the Strokes was really pretty, because I think that's pretty much the strongest part of that entire song.
Yeah. The duh is the hook to me.
It's
like,
the only
I know
hook.
There's a musical hook, but it's like the hook. That's the thing.
The musical hook is old Halloween albums, but don't tell that to Phineas. So even the videos. So you going down the street late at night, you have a friend shoot that, and then you just blue screen that whole sucker?
That was literally, I was in Texas visiting family because why not? We got time. So I was in Texas, and I needed to shoot a video for You're So Retro, and my buddy said that we could just meet up and do something, and so we spent a day. We were just a day. We didn't have a plan or anything. And most of the day we shot just random garbage throughout Austin. And then I was like, maybe we should just do this all at night. I feel like that'd be more compelling than whatever this is that we're doing. And he was like, okay, sure. And I just, like, found that in an edit. It was really serendipitous. I was like, we'll just get one. Let's just get one full tracking shot and I'll just, like, sing. It'll be like a performance. And then I just cut in some other stuff. It was very lucky that it worked out at all.
There is an EP September 25th, right?
Correct.
So how many tracks are on that EP?
5 tracks on the EP, 3 of which you've already heard.
3 of which we already know. Are there any surprises on those other 2 tracks, or is it more of what, and when I say more of, I'm saying it is a good thing. I'm not saying, did you suddenly do, you know, Strokes meets reggae. Strokes meets, yeah, Bob Marley, you know?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. That's almost like 21 Pilots. No, it's kind of the same. There's a little bit more synth on one of them. There's some vocoder on one of them, but, like, generally it's the same vibe. I legitimately talked to Eric whenever we first got together and we were doing it, and I said that I really liked whenever you listen to, like, whatever, what did you expect from the vaccines, whatever, if you listen to that, if you listen to Is This It, if you listen to Interpol's record, you are in a world and you know where you are and you feel it the whole way through. And I wanted that. I was like, I want someone to turn on an album or an EP or a song of mine and be like, oh, we're in Fuller Land and we're just like, this is where we're at.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is 2 of your songs on the outside and then songs by others in between.